Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Kind of sunny out there, a little rainy, but you got to embrace it. A beautiful day nonetheless, and I hope your day is off to a good one. The annual International Pizza Expo was held last week, and our guest today will connect us with what's new and exciting, not only in the pizza business right here in Wisconsin, but across the world. I've really wanted to have a local restaurant owner on for a while. They're passionate, hardworking, they wear all the hats, right? Marketing, finance, logistics, and in many cases, the chef hat. Today's guest is one of the best owners around, involved and committed with more than 40 years of experience in the community. He's a premier chef and pizza maker, a strategic and friendly customer service operator, and just a good guy, not to mention a committed family man. Calderon Club makes one of the best pizzas around and some of the finest Italian food in the area. The Fazzari family has deep roots in the restaurant and food business and has two downtown locations, Calderon Club and San Giorgio. Really big pre- and post-game destinations, and both in the heart of the city, just blocks away from the Deer District. The family also owns a third restaurant in Fox Point to the north of downtown, also called the Calderon Club. And today, owner of the two entities, Gino Fazzari, joins us. His brothers own the other restaurant in Fox Point, but it's a big old family affair. So today, in true restaurant owner and jack-of-all-trades style, I'm really thankful that Gino took time out of his day because he's dealing with some HVAC and contractor issues at the restaurant. Was there late last night. So, like, this is what entrepreneurism and restaurant ownership is all about. Juggling a lot of plates all at the same time, but still making it to the upswing. So I truly, truly appreciate it. A couple fun facts. 47% of adults eat pizza at least two or three times a month. 73% have had it at least once a month. Americans' favorite topping, this is an easy one, pepperoni, sausage is second, mushrooms are third. Gino will tell us all about the Milwaukee pie, I'm sure. But the future of pizza, you ask? Gino's just back from the 40th annual International Pizza Expo in Las Vegas. It's the world's largest pizza show, and it was held last week at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Hundreds of operators, managers, chefs, food suppliers, and more were there. He's going to give us a full rundown after the break, but I want to bring on Gino and just have him say hi. Hey, Gino, welcome to the Upswing. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. I just have to say that's a great intro, man. I hope my mom and my wife and all my friends are listening because that's a heck of an intro. Thanks.
Sure. So you were born in Milwaukee. Your parents came here from Italy in the 1960s, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So what did your parents do when they arrived in Milwaukee?
Well, so my mom came first because her father was actually here working in Pittsburgh. So my mom came in 1962, 63, and then my dad followed after about a year when my mom was here with my oldest brother, Ilario, okay, and my oldest sister, Maria. So my dad stayed back in Italy with two kids. My mom was here, and then he was able to come and join my mom, and they went from Pittsburgh to Milwaukee.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to continue your story when we come back from the break, and I want to get all the buzz from the International Pizza Expo. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined today by Gino Fazzario from Calderon Club. He's just back from the annual International Pizza Expo that was held last week in Las Vegas. So, Gino, how was Vegas?
Let's put it this way. The weather was outstanding. Vegas just continues to grow. Every time I get back there, it's just exponentially larger. More stuff, more restaurants. Just unbelievable.
Is it overwhelming to go to a convention of this size? I mean, is it feel like work? Or are you there to learn and take it in?
No, it doesn't really feel like work. I mean, this was the 40th anniversary for the Pizza Expo.
Okay.
So this year was the biggest show that I've been to since I've been going. The Las Vegas Convention Center is humongous.
Yeah.
And so the other end, there's a couple wings, or, you know, north, south, and then east and west wings, but there also was a bar and restaurant show going on at the same time. I didn't get a chance to get over there because the Pizza Expo was just so big this year. And we were there for 3 days, and it took 3 days to walk through that show. You're not walking through that show in a day.
What are some of the trends and things that you could bring back to Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the trend, I mean, there's continually a labor shortage that we're facing in the hospitality industry, especially in the kitchens. And so the trend is to, you know, robotics or AI or whatever we can do to help with the labor shortage. So there's mechanical systems that you can purchase and implement that will help with, you know, making dough, mixing dough, stretching dough, balling dough, cutting dough, all of that. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're there yet, but we're very close.
Okay. Were there other Milwaukee and Wisconsin contingencies with you?
Yeah. So
other local restaurant owners?
Yeah. Milwaukee definitely was represented.
All right.
I ran into Carlo Padone from Pinza USA.
Okay.
Who used to own or has DeCarlo's Pizzeria Reno Creek. I ran into Santo Galati and Greg from Santino's.
Nice.
Ran into Anthony Jackson from Greco and Sons, which is the largest distributor for Italian specialty and pizza products. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people there.
Very good. All right. Always make conventions more fun when you get the hometown flavor there and you got people around you that you know and love. So speaking of love, your family, right, has ties to the group that opened the very first pizza place in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so the first pizza restaurant in Milwaukee was 1945, and it was the Carrodero Club in the Third Ward. And Carrodero was a conglomerate, or I should say a partnership between Giuseppe Todaro and Giovanni Caravella. So they put Caravella and Todaro together, and that's where they came up with the name Carrodero. So 1945, Carrodero opened, and then 1946, I believe it was DeMarini's that opened. So they're very close.
Okay.
Carrodero was the first pizza in Milwaukee. In 1969, my dad bought the original Carrodero location, recipe, business from Joe Todaro because Giovanni or John Caravella had gotten out between 45 and 69. And my dad purchased the building, the recipe, and everything for $50,000 back then. And we actually found the original registered land contract and deed in the city of Milwaukee. And so from 69 to 73, we had the Carrodero Club. And my dad said the reason he bought it was because of that pizza. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And the Carrodero Club was on Erie Street in the Third Ward, correct?
Yeah, there's a plaque there. When we sold it to my uncles, we went back to Italy and had to open up a restaurant right outside of Rome. And so there was a fire there, but there's a plaque where that building was, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about the first pizza, the spot where the first pizza in Milwaukee originated.
Nice. We're talking with Gino Fazzari, owner of Milwaukee's Calderon Club in San Giorgio, just back from the International Pizza Expo here on the Upswing. So your family obviously grew up around the restaurant business, and you grew up above the family's former restaurant on the east side of Milwaukee, right? On Bartlett and Bradford, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Bartlett and Bradford. We opened that location in 1979. And we lived right above the restaurant in our bedroom. It was me and my little brother Carmelo in the bedroom above the kitchen. And our bedroom was right above the pizza oven. So let me tell you how hot that room was. No air conditioning. The heat from the ovens rising above in our bedroom. My gosh, we would just sweat bullets that night.
And so now that place is, I believe the name is the original there, but that was the original Calderon Club, correct, that opened in 1979?
Yeah, 79. When my dad bought it, it was called the High Corner because it's that corner on the east, south end, south corner of that block was the highest point. And so my dad purchased it and put a grill out in back. I mean, I remember we were doing, you know, my dad was cooking in the back. We had the pizza oven going, and it was a very small restaurant, but it had a beautiful bar That was built by the Schlitz Brewing Company in the early 1900s. And that bar was a replication of the bar from the World's Fair in St. Louis in, you know, in the 1900s. Beautiful.
Nice. All right. When we return, we're going to go to culinary school with Gino Fazzari. We're going to find out exactly where the name Calderon came from. Talk about him opening a new restaurant right next door to a 40-year-old institution and how that helped drive business to both places. This is The Upswing. It's all about pizza and the business of pizza today, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back. The business of pizza today on The Upswing with chef and Calderon Club in San Giorgio Ono, Gino Fazzari. So, Gino, where you touched about it a little bit in the last segment, but where's the name Calderon Club come from? What's the origin story there?
Yeah, so Calderon Club came when we sold the Caradura Club to my uncles in the 70s. There was a restaurant in a little town called Torvallanica, which is right outside of Rome. And that restaurant was famous because it was said that's where, I don't want to scandalize anybody, but there was a rumor where President Kennedy would meet Marilyn Monroe
at
this restaurant, because it's off the beaten path, but still in a beautiful small village outside of Rome. And it was called Calderone. And so Calderone means cauldron, big cauldron. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, when we came back, he's like, well, can't use the Caradura Club name because we sold that brand. But you know what? If we add club to Calderone, in English, Calderon Club sort of sounds like Caradura Club. And it's got a lot of history. You know, there's a backstory there. So he ran with it. And right. Calderon became pretty kind of famous after that. But, you know, there's a story.
All right. Very good. I like it. Creative marketing there to come up with the restaurant name for sure. So talk about your culinary school and classic cooking training experience a little bit.
Yeah. So my first culinary experience was at the University of Wisconsin Stout. So that's where I got my restaurant hotel degree, because there's a culinary portion of that. And many of the instructors, chef instructors, were graduates of the CIA or Culinary Institute of America. And I didn't know anything about it until going to Stout. And Chef Philip McGurk, who I believe is retired now, and there's a couple other chefs, Brian Berquist, and these guys were all CIA grads. And I just fell in love with the kitchen and the organization and the French brigade system, and got introduced to that. And so more, you know, culinary, you know, quantity food cooking and stuff like this. And so when I graduated, I said, boy, that's just the taste. I really want to get further into this. And so they wrote a couple of letters of recommendation for me, and I got in to the CIA or Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park.
And is that the path to the CIA? You got to have the recommendation letters in order to get in?
Correct. Yeah. You need two letters of recommendation, from one letter from faculty in the field, and another letter from a chef or somebody in industry.
Okay. All right. And were there other area chefs or Wisconsin-based chefs in your class, or who are some of the other CIA grads in the area people would know?
Yeah, so not exactly. I graduated in 97, not exactly in my class, but famous people, you know, culinary grads, Sanford D'Amato, Sandy D'Amato, who's a James Beard winner. He actually cooked for Julia Child's, I think, 80th birthday gala, one of 12 chefs that were chosen. And he also cooked for the Dalai Lama when the Dalai Lama was visiting here in Madison. So in fact, I tried to do an internship with Sandy. And I remember calling him and talking to him, and he said, Gino, I would love, because, you know, we knew him, our families knew each other, and I kind of knew a little bit about him, but didn't really realize how good he was. And when I found out from CIA how good he was and what we have here in our backyard, I immediately called him up and said, Chef, can I come and do an internship with you? And he said, Gino, I'm sorry, I've already got two interns. I have to get rid of somebody, and I can't do it. If you can wait till next semester. I said, no, I can't, because then I would be delayed in graduating. So I ended up going to Florida, Little Palm Island, which is at the time the number three Reliant Chateau resort in the world.
Okay.
The Reliant Chateau is a grading system like the Michelin star for resorts, and it was a number three resort. Chef Michel Ramon, Swiss-born, French-trained. He had won the what's called the silver, or the triple crown in our industry, the James Beard, the Silver Spoon, and the Ivy. So I was very fortunate to get in there and study with him. But other chefs in the area, How about TV chefs? I mean, we got some TV chefs. You got Duffy Goldman, the baker. He's a class of 98.
Okay.
Anne Burrell. All right. She was a year before me, class of 96. So, there's a good contingency,
and you're all part of the same family, so to speak. So you open San Giorgio next to the Calderon Club in what year? And kind of what has the business impact of opening another restaurant next to a legacy restaurant been?
Yeah, so you would be amazed at how many people said I was crazy. You're going to open up, and see if I get this right, you're going to open up a pizzeria next to an Italian restaurant that serves pizza. I said, yeah, because it's a different style of pizza. And it turns out that San Giorgio is the only certified AVPN Neapolitan pizzeria in Milwaukee. It's one of 95 in all of North and South America. And the AVPN is simply a governed agency backed by the Italian government, and it stands for Associazione Verace Pizza Napolitana, which just means the Association of Authentic or Real Neapolitan Pizza.
And are there three of those in the state?
There's four.
Four? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, when we come back for the break, I want to hear a little bit more about the opening of San Giorgio, dive deeper into the business of pizza with Gino Fazzari from Calderon Club. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Honored today to be joined by Gino Fazzari from the Calderon Club, the business of pizza. So on the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620, Gino, a question coming in, and yeah, your best to answer this. Please ask your guest to explain how Cardero Club on 50th and Valete is part of his family's history.
Yes, that's a great question. So when when the restaurant burned down at my uncle's had it in the Third Ward, they opened up in West Dallas. My uncle had that store. He had opened up another store with I think his son-in-law in Oak Creek area. Those stores all ended up closing. My uncle ended up getting very sick, and he ended up selling the Cardero brand, and I forget the guy's name. This is a live show, and I'm sorry. I can't remember the guy's name, but a very, very nice man. And he knew the history of the Cardero Club and didn't want it to go bye-bye, so he had actually bought that brand from my uncle and opened up on Valete.
Okay. All right. Very good. We did our best to answer that live for you. So what is your favorite frozen pizza? And I say this because we got a fun promotion with the good people at Screaming Sicilian and Palermo's, but I saw Giacomo Feluca on Friday night at an event, and I asked him, you know, what's the interaction between the fresh pizza guys and the frozen pizza guys? Like, is that family? Do you share ideas? Is there a rivalry? Like, just talk about your frozen pizza experience, Gino.
Yeah, so that's interesting. No, we're not. People think that, oh my gosh, frozen pizza. Hey, I've got 8 kids at home, and sometimes we're eating frozen pizzas. I mean, that's just the reality of it. People are like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? No, because there's good frozen pizza out there. Giacomo Feluca, the family is a great, great family, and our families grew up together. My mom and dad were close and hung out with Giacomo and Angelo's mom and dad, and we went to school together. So we all grew up on the east side, and they used to have a restaurant, I think it was on Prospect.
Yeah.
And then they got into the frozen food business, and they were ahead of the game. And they're very local. They do a great job. I see Giacomo. I don't see Angelo as much anymore, but I see him from time to time. But the amount of investment that they have in the community and giving back, just hiring employees, is phenomenal. And they have a great product.
Yeah, they really do.
It is really, they're using local Wisconsin cheese, local products. It's a great pizza.
We only have 2 kids, but it's the only thing in the Sherman freezer too. And it gets us through many nights, I tell you. And the smells in the studio right now, we have the tavern style thin supreme. We got some cheesy garlic bread, and really this is breakfast pizza to the extreme, and we're gonna enjoy it. If you're hungry for pizza, who isn't? Screamin' Sicilian premium frozen pizza is ranked best of the best by sporked.com. Find Screamin' Sicilian in your local grocer's freezer and taste what all the screaming is about. Indeed, never not a good time for frozen pizza. So I appreciate you taking time, Gino Fazzari from Calderon Club and San Giorgio. When we get back, I want to hear a little bit more about San Giorgio and the opening of that new restaurant. But we're going to dive into kind of what's changed the most post-COVID in the restaurant world. We'll be right back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Time always flies when you're having fun. Indeed, we are back with The Business of Pizza with Gino Fazzari from Calderon Club and San Giorgio. A truly subjective question here, Gino, but what makes a great pizza? Is it the dough? Is it the sauce? Is it the cheese? Is it the pizza maker? Is it all the above?
Yeah, Jeff, it's all of those things. It starts with the good dough, because you can have the best ingredients in the world. If you don't have a good dough, that's the base, and it's never going to be right, whether it's too chewy or there's a gum line on the top of it, which just simply means it's not cooked enough. So good dough, which is good local flour. And then you can do whatever style you're doing. You can use a high gluten flour for like a New York style, or a low gluten flour for either a pinza or Neapolitan pizza. So dough is number one. Cheese is great. We got the best Wisconsin cheese right here. We use Grande at all of our restaurants.
All right.
Which is some of the world's best cheese.
And that's available to the consumer too. If I'm making home pizza, I can.
Yeah. If you go to the grocery store look for Grande cheese, that's what you want. Sauce, you know, you got to use good tomatoes. And those are basically the biggest part of it. The dough, the cheese, the sauce. Cause then you can put whatever pepperoni you like, cup pepperoni, char pepperoni, whatever. And then as far as the pizza maker goes, yeah, that could be good or bad. I mean, it's subjective, man.
And you have a family farm for some of the fresh ingredients, correct? Is that still going strong?
Yeah, so my mom and dad have a 10-acre farm in Mequon. And my dad passed away about 10 years, a little over 10 years ago now. And so what my mom does is co-op with local farmers. And so in the summertime, we get most of our produce from the farm. So basil, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers, all that comes, zucchini, all that comes from the farm. It's great stuff.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah, that's a good it's a good business model for sure. And, you know, farm fresh pizza, nothing better than that. So you have obviously seen a lot of changes in the business world in your time. How have you explored? See, you opened San Giorgio right down the block from Calderon Club. Have you looked at other opportunities, and how do you get to the point where you're just not too spread thin?
Well, my wife would chime in and say, that's enough. Every time I bring up opening up another location or adding on, she's like, hey, look, how thin do you want to spread yourself? And so that's the challenge. But I maybe eventually we'll open up something out west. You know, I mean, I'd like to do that closer to home. I'd love to
like Waukesha County, Lake Country, in that area, possibly.
Waukesha County, Lake Country, yeah, for sure. And the reason is I'd like to get, you know, right now where we live, it's about 45 minutes to work.
Okay.
Which for me is not difficult, but it's almost impossible to get my kids involved, you know, because of school and, you know, going to bed at an appropriate proper time.
How many of the kids work day to day at the restaurant, or at least when they can?
So right now one, my oldest boy, Theodore, he's working there now because he's 24. But then during the summer, I have Juliana, my son Antonio, my daughter Mariana helps out, but you know, you're talking 13, 12, 11 years old, but they're very good at it.
Right.
I mean, if we had more time, I'd tell you an interesting story about Juliana, her first time busting tables during the NBA finals and having the crew from that TNT commenting about what a great job she did. And I thought, here it comes. They want to talk to me about Juliana. What did she spill? What did she do? But she did a great job. So
that's great.
Yeah, but that's important. I mean, that's made me who I am, you know, growing up in the business, working next to my mom and my dad, seeing, you know, their day to day, what it looked like. And you learned a lot, whether you realize it or not, just through osmosis. I would, you know, learn and watch. And I knew from a young age, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to cook. Mm-hmm. I loved watching my mom cook and bake in the kitchen. I just loved it. And getting to see the immediate response from people when she, you know, walked out of the kitchen, or my dad walked out of the kitchen with these, you know, big plates of pasta and pizza and stuff. And, Yeah, that's
so what's the fun challenge of balancing that passion for cooking with the business realities of running and driving revenue at the restaurants each and every day?
Yeah, the two don't go well. They're not good bedfellows. Because the passion side, the kitchen, is have fun, create. It doesn't matter what it costs. You create the dish. The business side says, wait a minute. Number one, you know, what is that costing? Because what can you sell it for? And is there a market for that? And then when I first took over the restaurant after culinary school in 1997, Jeff, I had all these great grandeur. I mean, these huge plans, right? Doing tableside Dover sole filet, osso bugo, risotto, all these things. I was going to show off my culinary prowess. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? The restaurant was empty and people were like not really enjoying that. I took spaghetti and meatballs off the menu because I said, you can't get spaghetti and meatballs in Italy. You know what I mean? Watch the movie The Big Night. They don't exist. And so I did that, and I'd get people going to the Marquette games, Bucks games, Admiral games, Wave games, and they're like, wait a minute, there's no spaghetti meatballs here? Is this an Italian restaurant? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a scene right out of Big Night. And so I had to put my pride aside and listen, and the restaurant eventually told me what it wanted to be and what it would best thrive at. And that's where you have to put your pride aside. Mm-hmm. You have to eat some humble pie because, boy, the staff was eating real well. Right. We were eating great at night because we weren't selling it, but obviously you can't stay in business.
The market usually dictates, for sure. We'll be back with Gino Fazzari from Calderon Club for one more segment. We'll talk about Do Good with Food. I want to talk a little bit about downtown and the kind of the explosion of business there. You're listening to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and this is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman here with Gino Fazzari, chef, business owner, restaurateur, Calderon Club, San Giorgio. What has changed the most post-COVID, Gino? Yeah, I think I heard from a lot of local restaurateurs that during the pandemic, post-pandemic, tipping was really high. People were in a great mood to get back. And now have costs and kind of a little bit of inflation impacted, obviously, your bottom line a little bit, but how people are looking at the tipping world?
Yeah, so, you know, during COVID and post-COVID, I mean, it was unbelievable. The amount of, love that people were showing by tipping the service staff and understanding what we were going through in this segment, because the hospitality industry was absolutely the hardest hit. And so, you know, tips would be 30, 40, 50%. It was unbelievable. And because the business overall volume was down, so it was helping these people pay their bills, in the service industries. It was great. People had a lot more patience. That's sort of settled down now. I think obviously the cost of living has kind of prohibited that. We're not seeing those kind of tips anymore. But I understand. Hey, I get it. The dollar is not going as far as it used to, so I understand.
Okay, very good. We've also seen a lot of change in greater Milwaukee with an expanded convention center coming. What do you think Milwaukee needs to do to continue to expand its growth, and what will the expanded convention center mean for your businesses?
Well, so the expanded convention center means a lot of things. It means, first and foremost, you have the ability to attract bigger conventions now because of the convention space. So that means more tourists, more tourist dollars to Milwaukee. We also have some new hotels that are going to be opening soon. So that means, again, more revenue for the city and for the state. We're able to do more volume, hire more employees, again, more taxes. So that growth is great for everybody. What the city needs to do to continue to grow is concentrate on public safety. That has to be number one. Yeah. I don't want to get, it's hard when we get phone calls from people saying, we're not going to come downtown. We think maybe it's not safe. You know, we turn on the news, we see this, that. And so that's a deterrent, but the reality is downtown is safe. But we need to continue to make it safe so that we don't get, we get this reputation that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah, very good. So talk about giving back a little bit. Will you have a program called Do Good with Food? Will that be back this year? And that was inspired by your daughter Viviana,
correct? Yeah. Do Good With Food is was actually my wife Leanne came up with the name one night. She said, I'm part of a kitchen cabinet, which is an extension of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, and we were talking about fundraising, and she said, hey, if you guys are looking to do something, why don't we do a fundraiser for Children's Hospital? And we can get restaurants on board. And she came up with the name Do Good With Food. It's catchy. It's great. We started 6 years ago with just two restaurants, three restaurants, Calderon Club downtown, Calderon Club in Fox Point, my brother Carmelo, and San Giorgio Pizzeria. We are now almost 40 restaurants, and we have a lot of locals involved, Bartolotta's, Water Street Brewery Group, Saz's, Major Goolsby, 600 East. I mean, we've got a lot of partners, Carnivore. I think I said Moe's, but yeah. We've got a lot. And I reached out to all my friends and said, hey guys, this is a great thing to be a part of. We donate a portion of our sales, whatever you want,
to Children's Hospital, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, they're doing miracles every day. I'm just what my day, they saved actually two of my children's lives, Antonio and Viviana. And Viviana was one that is just, inexplicable because she was fighting for her life for 27 days and they said she probably won't recover from that, but that's, you know, that's how good, God worked a miracle and he used Children's Hospital to do it.
So. Very good. All right. Conversations with people that care and do. Gino Fazzari from Calderon Club in San Giorgio joins us today on The Upswing. Appreciate you listening. This is WTMJ.